All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
We are always live on the free Odyssey app and, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210, the phone number, on social media at 1210WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Dawn Stenzlin with the news. Sean Farish, guest co-hosting with us for the next three mornings before we get to the July 4th holiday break. And Stocker's on vacation for the next 2 weeks, so we've got our buddy, our pal, Dan Borowski, in from The Dom Show, in for Greg this morning on the board.
How you doing? Lieutenant Dan.
Nice to see you all.
Nice to see you. Now, Dawn, how are you? How was your weekend?
Great weekend. David qualified for the Junior Olympics.
Beautiful.
So that was good. We dodged the storms yesterday. That was a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. Power going out at my apartment, no internet. Tell you what, you lose internet, you lose power, you lose your ability to put on a TV. Even at 40 years old, I still freak out. Sean, how you doing, buddy? Good to have you back.
Oh, so happy to be back. It was a busy weekend. Just got home yesterday, late last night from Washington State. Spoke at an event. The Cowlitz County Republican Party out there in Washington State, they are working so hard. I got to tell you, there's a very, very strong candidate, a congressional hopeful out there in Washington's 3rd congressional district. I know we're talking all the way on the other side of the country, but this guy, Joe Kent, he is running for Congress. He lost last year by less than a percentage, not last year, last cycle, by less than a percentage point. This man's going to win, and this is the type of person now we want in Congress. So it was a pleasure to be out there in Washington State. Happy I survived Southwest Airlines chaotic boarding issues, you know, where you can sit wherever the hell you want. Back in Tennessee, back ready to rock and roll, back on Kale and Company. Life is good. Woo! Let's go.
Let's do it. Let's do it. All right. We got a lot of good things to get to on the show today. The big take this morning, a completely different Joe Biden at a Friday rally in Raleigh, North Carolina. We'll get to that. Also, all of these little tidbits starting to come out to further smear Joe Biden, so to speak, his schedule, how he was inept at a G7 summit meeting. We'll get to all of that. And of course, another big monumental SCOTUS ruling came down after we got off the air on Friday with January 6th prisoners. It's also a victory for Donald Trump. And of course, we are on immunity watch today. My guess is it will break during the Dawn Show this morning. Also, Tractor Supply ditches DEI. We'll get to that story. The cut sheet is loaded. And while Sean left Nashville, Hawk Tua Girl got on stage in Nashville on Saturday night.
Woo!
Yes.
Hawk Tua.
Yeah. And you're not talking about Kamala Harris, are you?
No, it's a different Hawk Tua. Hawk Tua.
She's the original Hawk Tua Girl. Exactly. She was the Hawk Tua Girl before it was cool. So there you go. Just ask Montel Williams, he'll tell you.
Back of an escalator, right? Or was that a different person?
No, that's Nikki Haley. That's Nikki a different Haley. Hawk Tua Girl.
I lose track.
Those are the escapades and the escalades, okay? That's what the different story.
And we might have Donald Trump make a few cameos throughout the show in bits and pieces this morning.
I think so.
Yes, indeed. All right, before we get to all of that, let's get to the news. 6:03, round number one, the great Dawn Stenzlin.
And good morning this Monday morning, July 1st, 64 degrees right now. We are heating up to 82 degrees, and we are sponsored this morning in Kale and Company News Live by Budget Blinds. In the news today, a lot of travelers and hundreds of headaches, hundreds of delays, hundreds of cancellations. Yeah, I'm talking about PHL, Philadelphia International Airport. What a hot mess at the airport right now as I speak. Baggage piling up once again at Philadelphia International Airport. Frustrated passengers expressing how all the weather yesterday disrupted their holiday travel. So the stormy weather that moved through, causing that domino effect at the airport, much like the ones we saw 1 week ago. Here's the problem. TSA saying it's preparing for what it believes to be the heaviest travel volumes that the agency has ever seen this week for the July 4th holiday. Passengers are still stuck in long customer lines, and that is, as of this morning, lost baggage or baggage piling up because of all the severe storms. And by the way, the storms that moved through last night, yes, causing a lot of power outages, causing a lot of damage, down trees. Be safe as you make your way in. Philadelphia headlines, two shot, one killed in separate shootings across Philadelphia. And that was just yesterday. An apartment fire also displays dozens of residents and pets in Port Richmond. And two teenagers were injured as they ran from the gunshots at a party that was in North Philadelphia. Perhaps one of the more violent ones that we saw, as there were two people shot yesterday early morning. But Philadelphia police saying, in particular, the man that was killed in Northeast Philadelphia Sunday morning, he was shot in the head. The incident all started about 3:20 in the morning, 1400 block of Kerper Street. This is in the Northeast Philadelphia. Officers finding this 43-year-old man who was unresponsive in the road after he had been shot in the head, gunned down, and pronounced at the scene. This one under investigation. They're not giving us the identifying information on this victim, and nor do we know what led to this. What was the motive? Was he a robbery victim? Was he the target? Are we talking about gangs? Are we talking about drugs? Police officials say the investigation is ongoing, no arrests, and they're asking the community for help if you know anything involving this particular slang, particularly brutal one in Philadelphia. So we've got that going on. Let's talk about Upper Marion Township. Yeah, let's talk about the main line of Philadelphia. What happens today in the main line of Philadelphia, which is just outside the city limits? Well, they are implementing the no plastic fork rule.
No, you know, I've had enough
of
those.
Use your fingers.
Yeah. You know what? Enough of these plastic utensils, folks.
Come on. Fingers.
Finger food.
Where's Governor Ron DeSantis when we need him, you know?
Mustard.
Didn't they say that in the Navy, like you...
He used to eat pudding with his fingers.
Right?
Yeah. Sometimes when I've had a few too many pops, I just open up the pudding wrapper and I just squeeze the tube down my gullet.
By the way, I think that's what Joe Biden does now. He eats pudding with his hands. Pretty sure.
Not a joke.
No,
not a joke.
Jill spoon feeds him. Let's be honest.
So does the mainstream media and everybody else.
When he's not taking it through a feeding tube, probably.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this is Montgomery County. We knew this was happening, that it was coming. Montgomery County Township, no longer are you allowed to get those plastic utensils when you get to-go food. And this includes all restaurants and bars. No plastic forks or spoons or plastic knives will be used, whether you're dining in or out at the establishment. This is because of... This single-use product regulation ordinance, by the way, makes it so that businesses, if they give out any plastic utensils, well, they could face fines from $50 to $250 for non-compliance.
Oh, God forbid. Well, that sounds real punitive, Dawn. Yeah. Talk about a deterrent. We're going to whack you a 50 spot. I give the story every time we talk about the reduction in plastic. When I was down in Tennessee for 4.5 years, get back up here 2 summers ago, go to a Wawa across the bridge in New Jersey, grab 2 Gatorades and a bag of beef jerky for my round of golf. And she's just staring at me as I check out. I'm like, can you put that in a bag, please? She goes, yeah, we don't do plastic bags anymore. Mm-hmm. My head almost, I'm like, what do you mean you don't do plastic bags anymore?
No more plastic bags.
It's outrageous.
And look, once it's on the main line, it's going to be everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, maybe carry your chopsticks with you.
Or, I'm going to bring some fine china with me.
You know,
China.
And let's talk a little bit, just some sports headlines, forecast. Overnight, while you are sleeping, free agent forward Paul George agreeing on a 4-year, $212 million max contract with our own Philadelphia 76ers. ESPN, I think, was the first one to break this, but George's deal, which sources say includes a player option on the final season, which would be 2027-28, brings him back to the Eastern Conference to partner with MVP center Joel Embiid, All-Star guard Tyrese Maxey, in pursuit, of course, of booting the Boston Celtics and winning the NBA championship.
So 4 years, $251 million, slightly less than I just received, but he'll still he'll still eat quite well.
Are you still dreaming?
Yes.
Still sleeping?
Yes, Dawn. The American dream thrives only in my head.
But Paul George, I mean, that's huge. That's exciting. Paul George, a star coming in. Speaking of stars, Bryce Harper, obviously still on the injury list, but you got to talk about where to vote next. The next phase of voting, it just opened yesterday. And six more Phillies, Trey Turner, Alec Bohm, Kyle Schwarber, JT Realmuto, Brandon Marsh, and Nick Castellanos. So you have until July 3rd for the All-Star voting. Bryce Harper, obviously, he already, I think, has the most votes across all positions in the National League so far for the All-Stars.
I'm told Republican Phillies fans have taken advantage of mail-in votes this year.
I was just about to ask, can we vote by mail? I mean, we're on the same page. It's pretty good.
Well, they say that you got every vote counts, so voting is only open for the 4 days. So please, I don't know, can you vote often?
I think you can submit as many ballots as you want. Yeah, it's like, if you're a dead Democrat, you can vote five times.
You know what's weird? I think the dead vote in the all-star voting is lower than the dead vote in presidential elections. Weird, you know? I'm not sure what's going on.
Especially here in Philadelphia. All right, we are sponsored this morning by Budget Blinds. Summer's a great time to brighten up the window treatments in your home. Budget Blinds, your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-questions-asked warranty in the entire business. Thank you, Budget Blinds, for sponsoring us on this Monday morning where we'll see 82 degrees as the high today. Just a beautiful day. We will be warming up tomorrow and Wednesday, 85 degrees, and then a change in the forecast we'll be talking about for the big July 4th holiday this Thursday. We'll talk about that moving forward. This is Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:11 here on this Monday morning. Let's kick off the week with another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the Big Take this morning. Bounce back Biden? Well, what a difference 36 hours can make. Or maybe not. Thursday night on CNN, President Joe Biden was an unmitigated low-energy disaster as he took on Donald Trump in the first debate of the 2024 presidential election cycle. Here was No-Go Joe on Thursday night at the debate. Listen and watch this.
Very wealthy. What I'm going to do is fix the tax system. For example, we have 1,000 trillionaires in America. I mean, billionaires in America. And what's happening? They're in a situation where they, in fact, pay 8.2% in taxes. If they just paid 24%, 25%, either one of those numbers, they'd raise $500 million, billion dollars, I should say, in a 10-year period. We'd be able to wipe out his debt. We'd be able to help make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death. And he's
millionaires, billionaires, trillionaires, who cares? Coughing, clearing his throat, losing his train of thought, and completely derailing before all of America to see. Fast forward 1 day later, after we get off the air on Friday on Kale & Company, Joe Biden was in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Friday rally, and suddenly, miraculously, he was State of the Union shouting Joe, but still an incoherent mess. Listen and watch this.
Donald Trump says he thinks overturning Roe v. Wade was a beautiful thing. My son was one of those people. Out of World War I in the video. Folks, look. I don't walk as easy as I used to. I don't speak as smoothly as I used to. I don't debate as well as I used to. America bows to no one. No one. No one. Never. Because I intend to win this state in November. Are you going to see that? I stand here today. I can honestly say I'm never more optimistic about America's future in my whole career.
We'll be right back. something in there about Roe v. Wade winning a state. He trails by 10 points, and according to most polls. And then the fake handshake to the air, capped off, of course, by the patented Biden shuffle. I guess those alleged drugs, they just took a day to kick in. And how about the crowd? That's weird. Most of his rallies are the size of a fourth grade spelling bee. But was that a bounce back moment for Biden? Or is it too little too late? It would appear that it's too little too late, and for a multitude of reasons. First of all, 51 million Americans saw him go off the deep end Thursday night, ratings coming in, and congrats to Stalker, who was the closest in our Guess the Ratings game. Dawn had projected 79 million. I was at 74. Stalker said 40 million. It was 51 million over the combination of anywhere between 17 and 22 different networks that carried CNN's simulcast. A major victory for CNN. In fact, it was their highest rated telecast of all time. But comparing 2024 to Biden v. Trump in 2020, which drew 73 million viewers, and Trump v. Hillary in 2016, which was the most watched debate of all time with 84 million viewers, you can argue it was a ratings dud. But here's the silver lining for Trump and Republicans. While most of America has already made up their mind, it was the swing states that were paying attention on Thursday night. According to Michael Mulvihill, ratings analyst for Fox Television, here were the top 10 rated markets for the debate. Number one, West Palm, Florida. They drew a 36 share. Obviously, Trump country, Florida is not really in play for Biden, so that doesn't matter. But the next nine really do. Number two, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, pulled in the 31 share. Minneapolis, Minnesota, number three with a 30 share. Atlanta, Georgia, number four with a 29 share. Coming in at five was Orlando, Florida, a 29 share. Right here in our own backyard, Philadelphia came in at number six, a 29 share. Hartford, Connecticut, number seven, also with a 29. Number eight, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a 29 share. Number nine, New York City, a 28 share. And rounding out the top 10 was Detroit, Michigan, with a 28 share. But I want people to think about that for a moment. Four of the top 10 markets came from battleground states, two of which are right here in Pennsylvania, where we know the two anchor cities of the state vote Democrat, but largely the rest of the state votes Republican. Pennsylvania with two cities, Georgia with a city, Michigan with a city, and Wisconsin with a city. This election largely hinges on the three Big Ten states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And of course, Georgia is a major player as well. Translation, those who needed to see the debate saw it, and the betting market has responded accordingly. According to Polymarket, pre-debate, Trump held a 25-point lead in the offshore gambling market, 59% to 34. Post-debate, that number skyrocketed by 17 points, where Donald Trump now holds, get ready for this, a 42-point lead, 65% to 23%. But for all of those people screaming, ditch Joe, it's highly unlikely that the Democrats will do that. And here's why. It's apparently too late for the Democrats to bump Joe in key battleground states. Biden cannot be removed from the ballot in Wisconsin. The same thing applies to Nevada. Friday, June 28th was the deadline to yank him there. And those are two swing states right off the top. In Georgia, the site of the debate, the Democrats only have a few weeks left to yank him from the ballot. And this reporting is courtesy of the Heritage Oversight Project in a story from the Daily Mail. According to the report, Wisconsin does not allow ballot withdrawal for any reason other than death. Also with Georgia, if Biden were to WD less than 60 days before the election, Georgia has to keep Biden's name on the ballot, but no votes for Biden would be counted. That is huge. And the second leg of this major roadblock to kicking Biden to the curb is this. The big guy's campaign funds can only be transferred to Kamala Harris. All of those fundraisers with all the elitists in Hollywood, all of the millions upon millions of dollars, cannot go to Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer, Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama, Pritzker, Bashir, nobody else under the sun. Only to the Vice President Kamala Harris, who polls lower than Joe. And we're just 2 weeks away from the RNC convention and a mere 6 weeks from the DNC convention. The next debate is not until September. But at this very moment in time, the Democrats are in complete disarray and they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And that's just fine by me. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, big take this morning. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the Kale and Company comment community on YouTube. You can fire up the YouTube chat right now. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe button. We'll come back, get Dawn and Sean's thoughts to Biden's appearance on Friday. And also all of the logistics and the political gymnastics and maneuvering that the Dems are going to have to try to figure out here in the next couple of weeks. It's Kale and Company live here on this Monday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Maybe you have the entire week off.
Nobody cares.
Yes, nobody cares. I didn't play that. That was Dan, by the way.
Stop it. Stop it.
So this is interesting. I want to get everybody's thoughts on this. It's amazing. You know, you figure, okay, the debate's over Thursday. We do our reaction show. Sean, you were with us for close to an hour and a half on Friday, and we're breaking down everything that transpired on television Thursday night. And then you think, oh, maybe a little bit of a slow weekend, or at least we had already talked about it, and all the weekend shows would just regurgitate what everybody saw Thursday and Friday. But no, there's been a slew of new information, new leaks, really damaging and kind of digging the dagger a little bit further in with Joe Biden. I think the Democrats want to ditch him, but apparently, according to reports in key states, they can't. There's restrictions on the funds being transferred to only Kamala Harris. And then, of course, you have the family dynamic of Joe, Jill, and Hunter and the power that they are desperately clinging to. Dawn, your thoughts as to what transpired over the weekend and how Friday Joe all of a sudden had like a different level of energy that he was clearly lacking on Thursday night. Did they give him a placebo on Thursday? What did they do here?
It's weird. The whole thing is strange, and the reports that, you know, he and Jill went back to Camp David, that Hunter Biden suddenly is his biggest consultant. Maybe Hunter had the good stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Should have checked in with him before the big debate. What strikes me about this and the New York Times and all these editorials, and that they're all panicked. They're not panicked about what we've been talking about the economy that's horrifying, or the grocery store every time you go, or what about all the crime, or what about these abductions and the femicide that's happening across America with girls and women being grabbed, abducted, raped by predators, murdered in some cases that we've talked about. They're not panicked about any of that. That's what boils my blood.
Mm-hmm.
They're not mad about that. They're not right, you know, all going crazy over that and getting together and saying, how can we solve this? The only thing they care about is, oh no, we might lose November. And then on top of it, what they're really worried about when they're a bureaucrat is, ruh-roh, I might lose my sweet gig that I've been zooming in half the time.
Yep.
It's infuriating. They don't, it just shows me they don't care. They don't care about us, the crime, the state of what a hot mess we're in. They care. It's all about them.
Mm-hmm. It's all about power, and it's all about keeping Trump out. Sean Farish, your thoughts as to what transpired since we got off the air Friday?
Yeah, I've been locked in on the Supreme Court and the 1512 overturn, the overturning of that application of that law on the J6 crimes. I mean, there have been so many January 6 defendants that have been railroaded by the, you know, disingenuous application and malicious application of 18 U.S.C. Section 1512, which is the obstruction of an official proceeding. You know, and then you look at all of the other developments with Biden. What happened on Friday? Why was he so energetic? A lot of people are commenting. They were doing this on X. They're telling me, you know, from folks who have suffered and taken care of people with dementia, it's something called sundowner syndrome. And it's kind of weird when with certain hours of the day, you know, a dementia patient, someone suffering from that horrible disease, it's a horrible disease, will lose their cognitive ability at that point in time in the day. So, you know, it's when you say, quote unquote, it's past Joe's bedtime, there literally is like a cutoff. And we've seen this version of Joe Biden before when he confused Egypt and Mexico. It was the exact same version of Joe Biden. And the exact same thing happened the day after he had that disastrous press conference where he was defending his mental acuity. You know, the Hur tapes were the Robert Hur transcript came out. The special counsel report, they called him an old man with a failing memory or whatever, you know, whatever terminology they used. But that was the idea. We've seen that version of Joe before. Right. So, and that was another indication and another example of, you know, late at night, all of a sudden, you know, he can't do it. Doesn't matter what you pump into his system, he can't do it. And, you know, I don't know why he agreed to a debate at 9 o'clock Eastern time. You know, you can ask all of those questions. Was it a hit job? I don't know if it was really a hit job. I think the Democrats know they're stuck and they're kind of just going with it now. And they're going to try and cover up for him however they can, because you mentioned there's all those restrictions on the funds, and yes, they can move it around into different PACs, and they can form, you know, leadership committees and transfer the money out that way. So they'll be able to get the money out if they remove them. But ballot access, all those legal challenges, yeah, I just don't see how they're going to be able to do it. There's a lot of people who are dead set that Joe Biden's not going to be the nominee. And I'm not going to say I'm dead set on the opposite. I'm going to say until you can prove to me that Jill Biden and then Kamala Harris will reasonably step aside and relinquish power to somebody else, if you can't prove that that's going to happen, I don't care what you think about Joe. And it's time for everyone to stop talking about Michelle Obama, I think, because it's just not going to happen. She's not going to be the one. You could take that to the bank.
The only way they see, the only way they can get rid of Joe is to get rid of Jill. And the only way to get rid of Jill is to have Hillary kill her.
Stop. Yeah, I mean, Jill Biden, Jill Biden, you're right. Jill Biden has to come out and put a tweet up and say, I have compromising material on Hillary Clinton. That gets rid of Joe. That gets rid of Jill. Yeah. Now, Hillary has to, Kamala probably has to tweet that too, so she's out of the way.
Right.
Hillary's going to have to rack up three more bodies, and then she can run for president.
But like, all jokes aside, you know, Joe Biden, I'm seeing this story here in this exclusive from Axios about how at certain points of the day, he starts to diminish. And I'm looking at this Biden schedule, he basically only operates where he is, quote, dependably engaged. And I don't even think he's dependably engaged between these hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. We've all
been. Does that mean he wears the pens? Yeah. Does that mean he wears the pens?
Yes. Pampers, you name it. Diapers,
the Pampers president.
The Pampers president. We've all been in broadcasting for a long time. Joe Biden, basically what Axios is telling us in this story is that Joe Biden is like a weak signal, weak powered AM radio station that once the sun goes down, you can't pick up the transmitter anywhere in the city. Well, like, we don't have to deal with that here at 1210 because we're 50,000 watt blowtorch. But I've worked at many radio stations 15 years ago where, you know, when the clocks go back in November and it's dark at 5:15, you can't hear the station. That's our president right now. When the sun goes down, he goes kaput. It's staggering. I mean, I'm reading this here. From 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., he's dependably engaged. Many of his public events are held within those hours. Outside of that time range, according to Axios, or while traveling abroad, Biden is more likely to have verbal miscues and become fatigued. And we also saw that Jill was kind of helping him off the stage Thursday night. And then there's a Wall Street Journal exclusive over the weekend talking about Biden's mental ability, how it varied even within meetings at the U.S. and European summit. And he was the only world leader to miss the G7 dinner. So based on his schedule, we have to presume they didn't do an early bird dinner special. It was after 4 o'clock, and our president was too fatigued to attend the dinner in the evening hours.
It's nuts. That's nuts. And you're mentioning the, you know, you keep saying when the sun goes down. I have the song from Kenny Chesney, Uncle Cracker, When the Sun Goes Down, playing in my head. And I'm trying to figure out a way to make it funny to talk about Joe Biden. Everything gets hotter when the sun goes down. And I think it's like with Joe Biden, everything gets scary when the sun goes down, right? Because this guy just, it's true. It's true. The sun dips below the horizon and Joe Biden literally powers down. It's like he's a solar powered president, right? And the sun goes down and that's the end. He can't get the energy. No, this is crazy, right? I think Bongino's been talking about it a lot for like months. Like, check this dude's schedule out. There's nothing on it. He's the least busy president ever. He doesn't do anything, which obviously people could look at and go, well, you know, it's clear he's not running a show. I don't care if someone else is pulling the strings. The fact of the matter is, legally, that man is the president of the United States, which means if the puppet master has to go to the bathroom and isn't on the strings, he's free reign, right? He's all over the place. We can't have that. We just can't.
Yep.
You know, the fact that he's skipping dinners, whatever, it's the G7. I don't like it. But you're not supposed to skip the dinner. Right. If everyone else is there, just be there. The fact that you have people saying, oh, yeah, in meetings, he loses his mental capabilities. That's a problem. You can't be sitting in front at a table with Kim Jong-un and then drift off into dreamland. You just can't do that. You know, you think Trump, I got along very well. We were always with Kim Jong-un, little rocket man, great guy. I got along very well with China. President Xi, we call him Winnie the Pooh because you can't say that in China. You get banned. We got along well. No mental drifting from me. Joe Biden's out there. He's first he's eating pudding with his fingers. The next thing you know, he's talking to Kim Jong-un about missiles. I mean, what have we come to? This is a problem. This is a huge problem. But I think America sees it because holy moly, have we seen a shift in the polls and the sentiment in this country? I think it's great.
Phil, we're going to get to clip two here with Nancy Pelosi in a moment. So let's have that ready video wise. But Wall Street Journal also saying with Joe Biden, his ability to perform and focus can vary hugely between meetings and even within the same meeting. Two senior European officials cited last October in Washington, where Biden had struggled to follow the discussions, both said that he stumbled over his talking points and at several moments required Secretary of State Antony Blinken to intervene and point out the lines he should use. And I've noticed over the weekend, they're so desperate, and they, as in Democrats and those on the far left, that they're now reverting back to the, he has a stutter, you shouldn't make fun of somebody for that. Folks, what we watched on Thursday night and on Friday, even though he had much more energy, but really not the same level of coherence either, it's not a stutter. It's, I don't know if it's dementia, Parkinson's, we've heard many medical experts floating out 2, 3, 4 different possible cognitive decline issues. It's not to make a joke of them, but let's stop with the defending of it's a stutter. It is well beyond a stutter. Joe had that stutter in the 90s, okay? But Joe was with it, you know, from a mental acuity standpoint 25, 30 years ago. You can just roll back the tape from when he started campaigning in 2019 and just watch video footage from 19 to 20 to 21 to 22 to 23 to 24. That's not a stutter. That is the decline of a human being, which is going to happen to all of us. And if we're all lucky enough to get to 81, odds are, unless you're Dawn's dad, we're going to start to decline a little bit. It's just human nature, but it's not a stutter. I'm tired of that defense, too.
Nick, it's not a stutter. It's a cold. He has a cold.
Yeah, it's a cold.
That's what they said. We always get colds. And when we get colds, we crap ourselves, we fill our diapers, we fall, you know, we drift off. Because, you know, obviously a cold is a mental disease, not something that sits in your sinuses and, you know, makes you miserable for a week or so. It cognitively impairs you. And this is how stupid they think we are. I'm like, really? Okay, so he was coughing and he was a little hoarse. Fine. That you could maybe attribute to a cold. However, I've never seen an athlete recover from a cold in 12 hours, let alone an 81-year-old guy with dementia and diapers, right? So this guy, they're telling us that it's a cold on the debate stage, and that's why everything was kind of off, and the president has a cold. So a cold and a stutter equals what we saw on Thursday. So he got over the cold and somehow got over the stutter on Friday in North Carolina. I'm not buying it. I'm thinking on Thursday someone grabbed the wrong bottle and it was too late for him. And that's what happened. But you're right though. It's not a stutter. It's clearly maybe it's the China virus. Who knows? It's clearly a cold that's his big problem.
Yeah, and to your point, I think even if you looked at that after party when he came on stage with Jill Biden, First Lady Jill Biden, or Dr. Jill, as we're supposed to say, he seemed to be livened up. And even his voice sounded better, which is why many people wondered, you know, when somebody has a touch of dementia, what adds to it is stress, high stress moments. And of course, any one of us would be extremely stressed out in that debate when you know the nation is watching. Even if you look at the top, you look at Dana Bash. She looked like a deer in headlights when the show started. And I said to my husband, oh my gosh, she's nervous. Any normal person would be nervous, but that level of stress when you already have things going on, I think is going to supersize it. I think that's what happened to him. But just to bring it back locally, when you think about what this means down ticket, even in New Jersey, blue New Jersey, look at what's happening. A lot of excitement within the Republican Party. And I know for Andy Kim, who's a Democrat, you know, their camp is reportedly very worried because now you have Curtis Bashaw, who's the Republican who nobody thought had any chance. This is the Bob Menendez seat. All of a sudden, they're within 6 points. They're within striking distance. And so now you see this, and you talked, Sean, about being at an event. I think a lot of Republicans are being re-energized because of this.
Yeah.
Because of these polls, yeah. Even though they're a snapshot, this really makes people feel, okay, we got to go in. We got to do what we can do. Volunteer. You know, it's just energizing everybody, not just a base that was already energized.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Yeah.
855-839-1210. And then, of course, more of the panic and the fallout. We're going to get to Nancy Pelosi in just one moment. But according to CNN, there was a debate watch party in Los Angeles on Thursday night that featured Kamala Harris, her husband Doug Emhoff, J.B. Pritzker, Gretchen Whitmer, and Beshear, the governor from Kentucky, a Democrat in a red state that I know, Sean, you talked about a little bit on Friday, amongst other high-profile attendees, including Rob Reiner, meathead from All in the Family, who, according to CNN, was screaming about losing, and Jane Fonda had tears in her eyes, according to people in the room. 86-year-old, I just looked it up, Jane Fonda is 86, and all the Hollywood elites melting down over what could be watching their dream just dissolve before their eyes. They have such a disdain for Trump that they can't look at the facts and who was better and compare the two terms side by side, but it's just about power, and it's about control, money, and dictating the narrative, and all of that just seems to be coming out of their grasp every day right now, and that's the glorious part.
Yeah, it's funny to watch the left really, really come apart here. I mean, you saw right immediately after the debate, I wasn't expecting this, right? Van Jones basically in tears. I worked for Joe Biden. This is sad, and I can't believe what I witnessed. What do you mean you can't believe what you witnessed? Even when he had it, like, quote unquote, had it, right? You know, even in 2019, we all knew he was kind of going crazy. This is a dude in 2019, 2020 who campaigned and told you his legs were hairy and that he fought some dude named Corn Pop. How'd you miss that? Like, how did you miss that? You know, the all of the different episodes that he had from the day he was sworn in to now, falling up the stairs, right? Falling off the bike, getting lost, walking off stage, reading the prompts on the teleprompter, asking where dead representatives are. Where's Jackie? Like, how'd you miss all of this to now be surprised and in complete dismay after Thursday night and not know that that was a possibility? I didn't think we were going to see it that bad, but it was always a possibility. Van Jones kind of falling apart. Anderson Cooper grilling Kamala Harris. Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough on NBC almost got a divorce on live television. They had a huge disagreement. I mean, but I have to tell you, you know, they say schadenfreude and you're not supposed to root for other people's, dismay. And, you know, you're not supposed to root for their inconvenience and all that stuff. It's not supposed to feel good for you. This feels good for me because these are horrible people. Yeah. All of the people I just mentioned are terrible human beings, right? And of course, that's my opinion. We may disagree. There may be some people, Van Jones isn't so bad. Yeah, he's pretty bad. You look at these people, that's the guy who said when Trump beat Hillary, it was a white lash, right? Talk about race baiting. You look at these people who are upset, Reiner, Fonda, all these people. Good. I'm happy they're upset. Now what I want to do, you have to have a killer instinct. And I'm speaking in a political sense, not a literal sense. So I don't need to hear from the media about the rhetoric. You need to have killer instinct at this point in time. They are very, very discouraged. Their morale is low. You have to keep your foot on their throats. You got to keep your foot on the gas. You cannot let up here, and you cannot have this compassion. There is no compassion for these people. In my opinion, that's the approach you need to take. We got to go and run up the score. Remember when everyone got mad at Bill Belichick in the NFL for running up the score?
Yep.
Guess what? It's time to pull the Bill Belichick card and run up the score.
I agree.
No, don't go easy.
And deflate their balls.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Dawn, tell them.
Boom. Dawn, that's yeah. Right, Dawn.
Lower those PSIs. Deflate those balls, baby. Let's get to clip
know
two.
Your
is
load.
No, you're exactly. I can already tell Dan loves my board. He's already went through about six drops.
Fantastic. I love it.
40 minutes in. Let's get to Nancy Pelosi. This might be the greatest clip of the entire weekend as Nancy Pelosi claims that healthcare professionals say Donald Trump is actually the candidate with dementia before she has a senior moment of her own. The gaslighting is crazy. During an interview with CNN, Pelosi gaslit the American people before she was seen seizing up and apparently forgetting how to talk. Clip number two, boys. Go ahead.
This is an opportunity for Joe Biden to go out there and show he has the stamina and the rest. And by the way, while the press, and for some reason they don't, there are healthcare professionals who think that Trump has dementia, that his connection, his thoughts do not go together. And, you know, while he may be saying we're enablers, we see Joe Biden up close. We know how attuned he is to the issues, how informed he is. And I debate with him about legislation, and not debate, but discuss it with him. He's right there. So in any case, it was a bad night. Let's not sugarcoat that. It was a bad night. It was a great presidency.
If you're going to come on TV and call out somebody else cognitively, nice. You can't have your brain go kaput on live television. Yep. And maybe Nancy Pelosi should join Joe.
Yeah, she needs to make sure that her teeth are locked in. It sounds like they were kind of slow. I don't like that woman because she is an effective politician. You know, she's been very shrewd and very cunning in her entire career. But now I have a very hard time listening. She's like, you have to see Joe Biden. He's vibrant. Shut up. So I'm going to listen to that and be sold on the fact that the guy that she's talking about, this woman is not vibrant, by the way. She's all over the place. She's spitting. I don't know what her microphone or whatever she uses looks like. It's probably soaked. Every time she speaks, she showers it in saliva. It's horrible. Listening to her, you see her lips, her eyebrows. She looks like she looks like Mrs. Potato Head. Pieces of her body falling off all over the place. This woman is she's a relic from the past.
She's older than Joe. She's 84.
Yes. And now, by the way, that's funny that she's 84 and is still with it. Joe is 81 and it's nowhere close. She's still somewhat with it. I wouldn't say totally with it. But you know what's crazy? She said, well, you have medical professionals who say Donald Trump isn't all there. Are these the same medical professionals who told you masks work during COVID? Because if they are, they can go F themselves. I'll just tell you that because I'm not going to believe a word. I'm not going to believe a word those people say. Who is it? Anthony Fauci? You know, Donald Trump has dementia. Shut up. Send him back into, you know, send him back to Hogwarts to go be the banker at whatever bank it is with the rest of the goblins over there in Harry Potter land. This is out of control. So she's going to pull this. Well, no, it's actually Trump with dementia, which is what the left always does, by the way. Yep. They always accuse Trump of what their problems are. Mm-hmm. So if they start really, really accusing Donald Trump of dementia, telling you, hey, what you saw on TV, you didn't actually see. It's actually Trump who struggled. Mm-hmm. Now you can realize the Democrats, they're just completely out of touch with everybody.
Yep. We'll get to your calls when we come back as we wrap up the 6 o'clock hour.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.